The following message is an Antioch Bible Church presentation.
We return to chapter 10 of the book of John. Chapter 10. Before we pray, I'd like for you to think about this. How many of you have ever had the thought, can you lose your salvation? Anyone? Have that ever gone through your mind, can you lose your salvation? How many of you have ever been challenged by someone to say you can lose your salvation? Had good answers? Well, after the day, you're going to have better answers. Can I have an amen? There are several things that have to happen for you to lose your salvation, and there are none of them that are possible. So we're going to just touch upon it just a little bit, because for those of you that are visiting, I'm going to preach about 25 minutes. And you're going to go, wow, man, we're going to go back because he only preached about 25 minutes. Well, we started the sermon with communion. So Sundays we don't have communion. You just have more singing and more me. Can we have an amen? Let's pray. Father, thank you so much for being our God, and thank you for the privilege that we have to open your word. You know my prayer that you'll move me out of the way, that you will have the freedom to say and do whatever to whomever. For those of us who need comfort, I pray you will comfort us. And for those of us who need conviction, I pray you'll convict us. For Lord, this is about you, and there's no one greater than you. There's no more truth than your word. And there's no more answers to life than the Holy Spirit can teach us through your word. We praise you now, and we all say, you heard an amen, now make them feel at home. Let them know they're visiting. Can you lose your salvation? Well, you know, the answer is a resounding no. You cannot lose your salvation. Because there are some truths right here in this section that comes out that you and I need to understand and emphasize. We beat around it last week. We didn't touch upon it because I wanted to spend time on it this week as we finish chapter 10 and get ready for the last miracle in the book of John, chapter 11. We started with verse 19, 20, and 21 we ended last week with those verses. They looked at Jesus and said, this man has a demon. Another said, a man with a demon can't speak like this, can't do things like he's done. And there was a division among them. When it comes to the truth of Christ, there should be a division among those that believe and those that don't. And we spend too much time trying to bridge the gap between believers and non-believers without the non-believer changing. That's going to be an impossibility. We compromise our stands at times so that the non-believing world likes us. It isn't about liking. It's about salvation. Jesus Christ, getting them to accept him. Then you can expect them to have the spirit in their lives to change their thinking. So it has a division. Verse 22, we see Jesus going into Solomon's court at the temple. And it was winter, it says. And then we see it, verse 31. Then the Jews took up stones again to stone him. And then we see in verse 37, if I do not works of my Father, you don't have to believe me. But if I do the works of my Father, believe me that the Father has sent me and he is in me and I in him. And therefore, they sought to take him again. But he escaped out of their hands and went all the way to where he was baptized in the area with John the Baptist. Now, isn't it amazing that John the Baptist doubted that Jesus was the Messiah? Now, how could you, if you were the first cousin to Jesus Christ, the Messiah, first cousin, and your mother and your aunt, you heard conversations your whole life of them talking about the virgin birth. And you heard them talking about how great it was for her to have the last Old Testament, his mother to have the last Old Testament prophet, and his aunt to have the Messiah himself. And how could you possibly doubt when your first cousin come to you to get baptized in the Jordan to fulfill scripture? And you saw him and you baptized him and you saw the Holy Spirit come out of heaven and land on him like a dove. And you hear a voice from heaven that says, "This is my beloved son in whom I am well pleased." How could you doubt? Easy. The flesh, if you trust it, is made to doubt. And the flesh would tell you that you're not saved. And sometimes, if you haven't accepted Jesus Christ, you ought to listen to your flesh. That's the only time you ought to listen to your flesh. But if you have accepted Jesus and you know that, why would you go down that road of that thinking? You think John the Baptist was excited about that? That that's one of his legacies? That he doubted who Jesus was? This is not a great legacy to doubt whether or not you have eternal life, salvation. You can rest in that. And it's not based upon what I say. It's based upon what Scripture says. Ooh, we're talking about the good shepherd right now in John 10. Can I get an amen? We're going to end with the great shepherd, and we're going to end with the chief shepherd. Now, we got the good shepherd, we got the great shepherd, and we got the chief shepherd working on our side. What do we have to be worried about? Oh, come on. We can think of a lot of things to worry about, can't we? We can have all kinds of things pop in our mind to worry about. That's why the most unrestful people in the world oftentimes are Christians. And you're worrying for nothing. I just slowed down enough to get a response. But evidently, y'all don't want to give it, so I don't need it to preach. They're rejoicing in heaven. Can I have an amen? Because the word is given. So go back up here with me. Verse 26, but you don't believe because you're not my sheep. As I said unto you, verse 27, my sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. Somebody give the pastor a verbal response. It could be, oh, shut your mouth. Just long as it's verbal. Can I have an amen? Don't just sit around and be all Caucasian in here. There are other minorities in here, and you know we're loud. We don't have to stop being ourselves, because this is a church for all people. Whew. Get people, everyone want to act black in black churches. Everybody want to act white in all white churches. Sam, do they act like that in Hispanic churches too? They're allowed to? Come on in. And I give unto them eternal life, and they shall never, whoa, whoa, whoa. I give unto them eternal life. I give unto them eternal life. Can someone tell me, when does Christians get eternal life? Don't be talking like popcorn to me. That means you're not sure. You know, when you go to the Seahawks game and they have a touchdown, you don't give a little cheer, do you? You go, yeah! Just like right now. I hope they're cheering. But the game going on. Wendell, where is he? Y'all need to ask forgiveness for Wendell. He's wearing a bear coat. Heal him, Lord. He's watching the game. Oh, my goodness. Take his eyesight, Lord. When do we get eternal life? We accept Jesus Christ when we are saved. You know, don't you love that Christianese? When we are saved. What does it mean when you are saved? What? You accept Jesus in your heart, and how and who and which Jesus? Because there's a bunch of Jesus out there. One of them, you know, is the brother of Satan. Is that the one we're talking about? All right, talk to the pastor then. What does it mean for Christianese when we say we are saved? We accept Jesus Christ, and the Jesus Christ we accept is the Son of God that was man and God, the only Son of God who was born without sin, lived on the earth without sin, died on the cross in our place, taken from the cross, buried. 3 days later, he rose again, and he's now at the right hand of the throne of God. Woo! That's when you are Christianese saved and you get eternal life. I want to challenge you. I want you to go to Genesis 1:1 all the way to Revelation 22:21, and I want you to find me a verse that says, when you accept Jesus Christ the right way, you get temporary life. Wait a minute now. If you believe you can lose your salvation, you got temporary life. Because if you get eternal life when you accept Jesus Christ, I didn't know there was a break in it. I've looked at it. I can't find it. Eternal life, the moment you accept Jesus Christ, the one of the Bible. You get eternal life. What's the next phrase? And they shall never perish. Can anyone tell me what never means? What's the Greek word for never? Never. Never is coming to the end and then adding time. You cannot lose with the stuff God used. Never. You see, you step, when you accept Jesus Christ and you get eternal life, you step out of time into Jesus. Does anyone understand anything about Jesus? Jesus is not interrupted, affected by time. That's you and I. He was only affected by time when he came in the flesh to die for us, to give us eternal life that never stops, that never perishes. He became out of the eternal presence to moments. Yeah. Someone explain it to me. How can you step out of eternal presence? You can't. If you get eternal life, you are present forever. Oh man, been in heaven for 10,000 years, we're going to get tired. How can you get tired when it's not 10,000 years? It's right now. That's why Jesus Christ being eternal presence thinks a moment is like a million years and a million years like a moment. And that's when you say, God, I'm tired. God said, what? What's that? I've been doing this for so long. Really? I've been here forever. You just stepped in for a little time and you're already tired? No, you moved out of time when you stepped into me. You see, when you're born, everyone gets everlasting life. Everlasting life is have a beginning with no ending. It's called judgment. Christians is the only one that has everlasting eternal life. There is no beginning when we step in Jesus. There is no end. So how can it be broken? So how can anyone go down the road of thinking if you got eternal life when you was Christianly saved that you can lose it? You say, I'm not convinced. I don't care. Can I have an amen? Amen? It is not my job to convince you. My job is to give you the info. It's the Holy Spirit and you to come to the conclusion that you can't lose it. Oh, well, maybe there's a couple other. Oh, well, Pastor, I consider myself pretty intelligent. And I got questions on that. Really? Well, let's see what Jesus says about him and the Father. I give unto them eternal life, and they shall never perish, neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand. Somebody talk to me. If you're going to be in somebody's hand, Jesus seems to be some good pair of hands. Can I have an amen? Better than Allstate. Try to pluck them out of my hand. That's what Jesus is saying. Go ahead. Try. I gotcha. Now, who's holding on to who? Are we holding on to Jesus? So it's up to us not to get tired. Oh, I'm feeling weak. Oh, I'm going to let go. Jesus says, if you let go, you'll be able to relax. Because I gotcha. Can I have an amen? The biggest problem with us Christians, we hold on too much to the wrong things. Bam! Who let that truth out? Wow, man. He's holding on to us. And he's saying, who can pluck you out of my hand? Try it. Well, Pastor, I know that no one can pluck us out of his hand, but we can walk away. You can't even live without sin. You're going to open God's hand and walk out. You can't even cure the common cold. And I wish you found a cure and tithe. Can I have an amen off of that? Because we found a cure for the common cold, we're going to make some green. Did I say that out loud, babe? I'm sorry. I'm going to have to pay for that when I get home. Whip me with a wet noodle. Nobody plucks them out of my hand. And if that's not enough, verse 29, my Father who gave them to me is greater than all, and no man is able to pluck them out of my Father's hand. Ooh, we got double. We're double-handed. Are we double-handed? Not only does Jesus hold us, but there's somebody else holding on. Who is it? Yeah, the Father. Ho, 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 ho. We ain't talking about Santa Claus either, huh? We are talking about triple. Because the Holy Spirit right in the middle saying, just relax. You ain't double-handed. The Father's got you. Jesus got you. And neither one of them has anyone greater than them. They gotta understand. You know what I'm saying? Gotta understand. But there's someone out there still going, well, yeah, but you hadn't explained yet about how I can walk away. Are you? This is church, right? You had to be careful about what you say. Oh, you gotta be stupid. to spend any time on the fact that you think you can walk out of God's hand. You shouldn't have got in there. Can I have an amen? If you don't want to live in there, you shouldn't have accepted him in the first place. Because after you accept him, you ain't got much to do. I'm feeling good, Lord. Hold on, baby. I'm laying back. That's better than going to Hawaii. Well, being in Jesus' hand in Hawaii, that's not bad, is it? Just costs too much. Dang. I and my Father are one. See that? I and my Father are eternal life. In there. Good. Forget it. Drop it. Done. Can't lose it. You know the best thing about knowing that kind of security? It's kind of like my wife. My wife is a blessed woman. She had to put up with a lot of stuff. Can I get an amen? Somebody said in the first service, not a lot of stuff, just you. I asked them to go to another church. My wife is a blessed woman. You know why? Because my wife don't have to spend any time trying to win me. None. She had to spend one moment trying to win me. She got me. I committed to her. And it's not based, my commitment is not based on how she does or don't do. I said, for better, for worse, until death do us part. She can commit adultery on me, folks. She can walk, and I don't care how many times. She'll never have to worry about me divorcing her. Never. She can walk out of my life and say, I hate you. I don't like you anymore. I don't love you anymore. That's all right. You're still my wife. Because my commitment is not based upon your commitment. My commitment is based on my commitment for God. So she is safe. She never has spent one moment trying to win me. Now, if she does that kind of stuff, there's such a thing as discipline, church discipline, because she's a sister in Christ. And I'm not going to pretend like she's not doing it. But she'll never have to worry about me ever leaving her, ever forgetting her, ever looking at another woman. Because if she can't trust me in my word in that, she can't trust me in my word in anything else. And I cannot stand people to go, you know, I made that commitment until death do us part. But then all of a sudden things get rough and they go, death to the relationship. That's not what you meant when you said it. You meant quit breathing. Can I have an amen? That's what you meant. She knows it. So she has to spend not one moment of her life trying to please me, trying to win me. She can take all the time to please me. Can I have an amen on that? Yeah! Who wins on that? Who's the winner? Me. I'm the winner on that. If she don't have to spend any time trying to win me, she can always concentrate on how to please me. See, that's eternal marriage. Eternal life is we don't have to try to win Christ. We have to go out for 2 years and spend our life out witnessing. We don't have to do all these things, try to win Christ, try to have enough merit. When we accept him, he's ours. We spend the rest of our life living to please him. Can I get an amen? Well, we got to... We're going to finish this. We got a lot. I got to rush over. Turn with me to Romans chapter 8. Hurry. Hurry. Step right up. When you get to Romans 8, somebody say, praise the Lord. When you get there, 8:35, say, praise the Lord. What shall separate us from the love of Christ? Did you hear that? What can separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation? Oh, come on, church. We got to get through this. There's got to be some answers here. You got to convince yourself, if not anybody else. Right. What can separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation, the answer is?
No.
Distress?
No.
Persecution?
No.
Famine?
No.
Nakedness?
No.
Peril?
No.
Sword?
No.
Cancer?
No.
Ooh. Ooh. As it is written, for thy sake we are killed all day long. We are counted as sheep for the slaughter. Nay, in all these things we are more than conquerors through him that loved us. What? Who is someone that's more than a conqueror? Someone that cannot be conquered. Check that out. Is that awesome? If you're more than a conqueror, you can't be conquered. Nay, in all these things we are more than conquerors through him that loves us. For I am persuaded that neither death, life, angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor heights, nor depth, nor any other created thing. Help me. Nor any other created thing. Can I ask you a question? Are you, as a human being, a created thing? So you mean to tell me, according to these verses, you can't even walk away? Holy smokalinas. You can't walk away? Drop the discussion. Turn real quick with me to the book of Psalms. When I first became a Christian, it was the book of Palms. In Alabama, you have pronounced all the letters. Can I have amen, bro? Go to that book of Palms. I want to read your palm. I got messed up one day. I dropped by a palm reader because I thought she had the Bible in there. Which palm? You getting kind of pushy, aren't you? I gave it to you 4 weeks ago and you guys forgotten. When we talk about the good shepherd, the great shepherd, and the chief shepherd. It's Psalms 22, 23, and 24. We got to run now. Sam, you guys going to kick it up a little bit for me? Bunny, brother, are you on base today? You're knocking it, man. You're knocking it. You forgot you white today, bro. You're kicking it, man. Psalm 22. My God, why hast thou forsaken me? Anyone ever heard that before from somewhere? Where was that from? Jesus on the cross. Did y'all know he was quoting scripture when he said that? He was quoting scripture to prove that he was the good shepherd in Psalms 22. That's past. He's already died. He's already resurrected. Psalms 22, 1 through 21 is about the crucifixion. Psalms 22 to the end of the chapter of Psalms is about the resurrection. Has that already happened? Past. Come on, somebody. Come on. Talk to the past. It's just double nasty. He said, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? Why art thou so far from helping me and from the words of my roaring? In other words, he became sin. The good shepherd became sin, so God had to turn his back on him. Because he loves us. Because he wants to give us eternal life. Look at verse 20. Deliver my soul from the sword. That's divine justice. He had to do that to save us. My only one from the power of the dog. Whoa. Anyone know what the power of the dog is? Gentiles. Can anyone here tell me who's the oldest? Gentiles or Jews? Are you sure? Yep, Gentiles are the oldest. Did you guys know the Jews came from Gentiles? The Jewish father, Abraham, was a Gentile. Tell that to the Jew. He don't like that. Can I have an amen? And since the Jews came from the Gentiles, Christ was crucified by those that the Jews wanted him to crucify, which was the Romans, which was the dogs. Deliver me from the dog. Is God just awesome? Look at this. That's a good shepherd. Save me from the lion's mouth. That's Satan himself. Satan thought he won. It's Friday, but Sunday's coming. Can I have an amen? Yeah. For thou hast heard me from the horns of the wild oxen. Wild oxen, another word was for the unicorn. The unicorn was a subscription to surety that it was going to happen, that he was going to be resurrected. That starts in verse 22. I will declare thy name unto my brethren in the midst of the congregation. Will I praise thee when I'm resurrected? That's the good shepherd. Somebody talk to me about Psalm 22 being the past. Want to see the present? The great shepherd, Psalm 23. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. Bam! Presence. He is my shepherd. He making me to lie down in green pastures. I wish that was money. Can I have an amen? I wish that was money. Makes me to lie down in green pastures. But we also glad if not tree huggers. He leading me beside the still waters. No storm there. He restores my soul. He leading me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. That's how we're supposed to be living today. That's presence. That's a great shepherd. Yea, though I walk through the valley of shadow of death, I will fear no evil. For the great shepherd is the greater one in the valley. Can I have an amen from someone? That's Hutchinson translated. I hope that's all right. Presence. And then Psalm 24, we had time to go. Well, I've already over time. The earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof, future. The world and they who dwell in it. When he died, when he was resurrected, now he's leading through the presence. Everything you see around him is under his submission. It's going to be that even better in the future. Look at verse 7. Lift up your heads, O ye gates, and be ye lifted up, ye everlasting doors, and the King of glory shall come in. Who is the King of glory? Who is the King of glory? The chief shepherd. The chief shepherd, the future shepherd, that's going to come back as judge, not as a dying savior again. Who is this King of glory? The Lord strong and mighty, the Lord mighty in battle. Lift up your heads, O ye gates, even lift them up, ye everlasting doors, and the King of glory. Who is this King of glory? The Lord of hosts, he is the King of glory. Selah, take a break. Think about it. That's what that means. Woo! Do we have a Savior? Or do we have a Savior? We have a good shepherd. That's a Savior. We have a great shepherd. That's a Savior. We have a chief shepherd. That's a Savior. Think about that.
This has been a presentation of Antioch Bible Church. For more information about Antioch Bible Church or to order additional resources, please call 425-556-5905 or go to www.abchurch.org.